Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is R&B Talks.
It is R&B Talks,
it is.
Brian.
Hey, Reg.
Hey.
All right. How is it going, my friend?
Sucks big time.
I know. We were talking about that, but I'm glad you're coming around, man. I've prayed a lot, man. I really actually have, dude. I've prayed for you so much this week that I'm like, dude, my boy is suffering, and I'm like, Lord, do something for him. Like,
I know.
Like, give him a big old, like Jesus prescription or something. Like, help this brother out. Like,
well, here's just real quick for because I want to make sure people understand this too. If GLP-1 shots, okay, Ozempic, Mounjaro, there's a few of them,
right? Yeah.
Keep in mind, they don't tell you all the side effects, but what you can do is look and you'll find a ton of people who are reporting all kinds of other issues than what they say are going on. And I'll tell you why. It affects your drive, and it, 'cause the way they're trying to handle things is with your hypothalamus and some interactions with the brainstem and stuff to lessen your drive for food, basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Some of it, not all of it's that, but there's some of that. It interacts with the pancreas too and all that stuff. But so what that can do, and what people are reporting, and not just a few people, a lot of people, there's even user groups now about this anxiety and mood, very much mood swings, and there's all kinds of psychiatric things that are going on. So for me, you know, I was taking Mounjaro. I took 2.5 milligrams for a month. They raised it up to 5 milligrams for a month. And I was like, yeah, I feel fine. I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong. Then I went to 7.5 milligrams. 2 weeks into the 7.5, though, I had like some serious gut problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, I had hurt my knee and I was trying to like figure that out. So I was taking like an additional thing of, I was taking turmeric and I got some collagen peptide and creatine and a different B12 to help my knee.
Mm-hmm.
So the turmeric was actually in completely throwing my gut problems into overdrive because it just did. So the first thing I did was take off the turmeric. But then I kept taking the 7.5 because I thought, okay, well, maybe that's just the problem, right?
Yeah, turmeric's overwhelming you.
So so then that really, that helped. That was within a week that my gut issues started like to subside a little bit. But it was still there a little bit. And I didn't know what else was going on. I thought I was just having some little bit of nausea or whatever. And then that's when I started having these like severe like anxiety stuff with feelings of dread and imminent in danger and a motivation that was nothing non-present whatsoever, paralyzing in a way to where it was like this pit in my stomach all the time. And I've never felt anything like that. This is what my problem was. I've never had to deal with any of that ever. So I didn't know what it was really. I kind of figured what it was because I'm, you know, obviously I've known people with anxiety problems and everything else, and that's what they tell me, but you don't know because you haven't done it. Mm-hmm. Right. So finally I'm like looking around and I'm like, this is happening way too in conjunction with all the Mounjaro stuff that was going on. So I look around a little bit on my own and I find, and I need to make this 100% right.
Mm-hmm.
I look around on my own and I'm like, there's a lot of people reporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found like Reddit posts. I found some user group stuff. I found all kinds of things. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to use AI. So I went and I think I used two, Perplexity and ChatGPT. And so I asked those two things, said, hey, and I even listed out, I said, if I list my medications I'm taking, can you tell me what some of the, if that's leading to some anxiety and feelings of dread? That's really the two things that were really bothering me, because the pit of my stomach thing, so I did all that with both of them, and both of them came back with sources and everything else saying, yes, that is with what you're taking and everything else. This is the Mounjaro is most likely the culprit behind this, because it it even went farther to say why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then I'm like, well, I was fine on 5 milligrams. I'll just back it down, right? So then the next week, I took my 4 doses of 7.5. So then at the same time, I'm talking to my doctor about all this. I had she couldn't get my appointment in. She had an emergency, so she couldn't make up. So it got rescheduled for actually next week. So I'm sending messages right through the thing. And I said, okay, here's what I'm going on. I'm going to back off to the 5 milligrams. So I back off to 5 milligram, but I had no idea how long stuff stays in your system or whatever, but it still didn't do. I was still having a lot of issues, still feeling completely paralyzed. Keep in mind, I've been working out a lot. I've been taking care of everything around the yard and doing all kinds of stuff that I normally do. It takes a lot of work to function on this piece of property. It just does. Mm-hmm. Haven't done anything. That's how crippling this was for me. And so I used all these AI tools to really dig into this deeper than what I could know. And yeah. It went in and told me how it affected this and this. And I completely stopped taking it. So the one 5 milligram was like the only thing I didn't take anymore. Currently I'm at day, let's see, 11 after not taking the shot at all. Right. So for the last week though, I've had all these, like, I wake up in the middle of the night feeling god awful, having these feelings of everything and then shaking and tremoring and all this stuff. And then that freaked me out, right? So when that first started happening, what in the world is this? Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm like, okay, I already knew from all the research I was doing that it affected my brainstem and hypothalamus. So I'm like, okay, this. So then again, I'm going into AI and I'm messaging my doctor. I'm doing both of these things, right? I'm not just relying on AI. This is the key. Don't just rely on AI for this. But AI will help. And came back and said, yeah. That's definitely this, your adrenal systems. You've been stressed. This, right? And I'm mm-hmm. not going to get. I have page after page of this stuff because mm-hmm. I've been really trying to make sure I, because this is stuff freaking me out. I'm already on the verge of a freaking full on panic attack all the time anyway. So today is the first day I've wanted to eat anything. Mm-hmm. So for lunch, I was actually hungry. This is the first day I've actually had a lunch. So I was like, yeah, I'm kind of actually hungry. Mm-hmm. First day. Mm-hmm. This is the first day where not the whole day I felt just a pit in my stomach and all that stuff. The whole day I've had a little break in there. So this is day 11, mm-hmm. right? Now, what the AI did for me, I mean, you guys need to understand it. I didn't pay a dime to use the AI to do this. Mm-hmm. You just use it. What it did for me though, was lay out, here's what's going to happen. Here's likely what's reported. Here's how long you can expect for this. Here's how long you can expect for this. Here's how long you can expect for this. And the more data I give it, the better its results end up being back to you. So if you have anything going on, you got to verify it. By all means, don't just take its word for it, but it'll put you on a path that you can verify information and stuff and kind of have a better idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. Cause otherwise I'd be in full blown panic mode going, there's something really, I wouldn't know. And I'd be freaking out completely.
Yeah.
And there's too much information that is out there that you need to access for yourself to really go through, especially when you're in an anxiety kind of
when you're tornado in that mode. Yeah.
Where you can't, I can't focus.
Out. Yeah.
I can't really, look, here's the deal. I haven't been able to make any decisions really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I feel like I'm completely in a surreal environment. I've been making sure like bills are paid and you know, their necessities, but like, you know, our washer completely went out because it had an infestation. The mice started living in it and it like chewed all the wires out of it. So mm-hmm. Best Buy came out to fix it and they're like, yep, can't fix it. You're going to have to throw it away. Sorry. Goodbye. I told my wife, I can't make a decision. I'm looking at washers and stuff and doing all this, but I'm telling you right now, I can't do that. It's not, I can't focus. I don't even know what the hell, you know? So not having to worry about where this is at so much has helped ease at least that part.
Yeah.
Of that.
It's taking away some of the effect.
But I want to make sure that people understand this, is that with these new pharmaceuticals, they're not telling you everything.
The problem is, like I told you before, if you give me a 2 or 3 year continual study and then you come up with some results, I'm more than likely to be like, okay. But you cannot find a long term. You can find long term studies on the effects of GLP-1s on diabetes, but not on weight loss. And people are lining up to be injected with these drugs, and we don't really have a long-term idea of what will happen. But now we're seeing these epic high-level effects that are going on. I mean, there's been reports of vision issues, brain fog, paralysis, tremors and shakes, early onset memory loss, all kinds of crazy things going on within the body because you're injecting yourself with something that we don't really know. And here's where I'm at. If we knew enough, right? Like, let's take insulin for an example. My father is on insulin. Or was, I think he's gotten off of it. But they knew exactly what milligrams of insulin that my father needed to take in order to have an effect.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I talk to someone who's having a backwards impact from a GLP-1, it's, well, they started me on a low dose, and then they increased it, and then they increased it, and then they increased it, and all hell broke loose. And I'm like, if they knew enough about the drug and the interactions of the drug, they wouldn't need to keep varying your dose in that way.
Well, the dosage, I think, I think you hit on a big thing here. And this is what I'm going to talk to my doctor about. For every other medication you take, it's like, hey, for this dosage, if you weigh this much or you do this much or your symptoms are this much, you need to take this much or whatever. You start with like this and yep. Then you adjust it small ways, right?
Yeah, you go in small increments.
But with this, they're just like, it says it on their even website. Hey, everybody starts at this dose. And if you don't have enough effects.
Adverse reaction.
You take more.
Shoot you with some more.
And then if that doesn't, you keep going until you get the expected result. Now, here's the thing. Yes, I didn't take this to do weight loss. That is not why I took this for diabetes. Because I was trying to get off of
Metformin
and Jardiance as much as I can.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter now. Now I got to figure out what to do because, and here's the thing. I did a sort of keto thing for about a year and a half. It's been a while ago and I completely got off of everything, but that was completely on it was a very much, very expensive way
mm-hmm.
to eat. And my whole family doesn't. I'm the only one that does that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not conducive to whatever it is. So I got to figure out something. I will not take this again.
Yeah,
I will not take another GLP-1 again ever.
Well, no, I'll say this: give me a 5-year study. Give me a control. Give me some things that I can look at and go, well, okay. Well, this dosage did really well. No one had any adverse effects, or the adverse effects percentage was super low. Okay, right? I got it. But I've even had conversations with physicians where I've been like, so what's the proper dose? Well, we figure it out as we go. Do you say that with morphine? Do you say that with, here's an even more basic one. Think about NSAIDs. Think about ibuprofen, mm-hmm. Tylenol. Nobody really knows. You always hear we shouldn't take too much Tylenol or too much Advil or too much this. But then you ask a doctor how much is too much, and they're like, meh.
Yeah.
Here's a bottle of 800 milligram pills. Take 2 every time you have pain. Well, I've had a friend of mine who's a nurse tell me he takes 1600 milligrams every time he's, and I've been told that going over 1,000 is dangerous. I've been told that going over 500 is dangerous. No one knows.
Yeah.
Right.
And so everybody's different a little bit too. You mean, everybody's chemistry is different. Everybody's bodies work different. Like, it's got to be, I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do. Right.
Well, no, not at all, but it's also
long-term studies though, are what's necessary.
I got the long-term studies on the effects of diabetes and what GLP-1s will do. But I also will tell you that there are some very, very solid studies out there on just semaglutides, because the semaglutide that's in the GLP-1 is the actual thing that's reactionary for the weight loss. Well, I know people who have been on semaglutides for 9 months, a year, zero side effects, weight loss, more energy, because it's not injected with all the garbage, right? And you can go to any, you can go online right now and order clean semaglutides and put 10 milligrams injection in your body once a day and not have crippling side effects. But the problem is the pharmaceutical company wants to have all this stuff in there because they need to, it's the addictive part of it. Semaglutides, and the one thing about semaglutides, most of what we've seen so far says that if you're on the GLP-1 for more than a year and you go off of it, you usually gain the weight back plus 10 or 20%. But when you go off semaglutides, that doesn't happen. So instead of going to the cleaner side of things, here we are with the pharmaceutical companies that always do what they do. Well, we know that this drug works for diabetes, but all these people lost some weight, so we need to make more money on this drug. So now we're going to sell it as a weight loss drug. Well, awesome. But you haven't done any studies on the side effects. And here's another thing. Before Ozempic became a weight loss drug, there was a recommended dosage. It was 2.5 milligrams across the board. So you're going to tell me that you've not done any long-term studies, but you're going to pump 5, 7.5, 10 milligrams into people and hope nothing goes sideways? Especially if someone's already suffering from a comorbidity already. Well, you don't know what that's going to do.
Like, it's crazy, man.
It is. It's nuts.
Here's what I'll tell you about faith. This will challenge your faith.
Yes, it will.
I can tell you,
preach,
that it really does. And there were some times. So here's another thing. I started serving at the church. One of the things that was just a prayer answered was, like, you know, we show up at the church. We're like, hey, these people, a lot of families, the preacher was accessible, you know, everything. It wasn't huge, but it's not small. You know, it's like pretty, it's a good sized church, whatever. And they're like, I was talking to the pastor and he's like, oh, you play drums? I'm like, yeah. Oh, you need to be on the worship team. I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, we need you bad, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, I'm not get into it, but so I started serving at church while I'm in this whole anxiety tornado. So here I am, like, because here's what happens for me. Like, the whole week I'm like praying pretty much nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't stop because I'm freaking out. Almost freaking out, you know, on the verge of a panic attack, right? So it's always like this. And then I'm having all these thoughts and stuff, and I'm like, why? And then at the same token, my brain is just saying, you're an idiot. What, you know the answer to these questions. I'm praying to, like, what, God, what am I going to, you know, what am I doing here? What else should I do? I need some relief because this is driving me insane. Like, I just feel like I'm just going to freaking break at any moment. And then I show up at church and I'm trying to have rehearsal, like, and I'm trying to learn these songs, and it's all like, just jarbled, you know, and it's just not, but I make it through it. And I go, and then especially mornings are so rough because the waking up, you know, you're waking up with all these, you know, shivering and tremor type of things. And you like, it's, you try to go back to sleep or whatever. And it just doesn't, you just don't get rest either. And then you wake up and I've, because of all the anxiety, you don't know what, I don't know what I've been dreaming, but I know it's been horrible. That's what I wake up to, right? So in the morning, I'm feeling this gut-wrenching thing. I'm like, I don't know if I'm hungry or not. I don't know this or that. It's just, I can't tell because I'm feel this anxiety level of stuff. And then I have to rush to church to try to do worship and stuff. And, you know, and it's just, and I've made it through the last couple weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm praying the whole time. So I'm getting to church and it's like, I'm just feeling like, well, why am I shouldn't be here. Cause I'm like, I'm having so much trouble with this and this and this, but at the same token, that's exactly where I should be. That's
exactly where you should be, man.
Because at the same, so, you know, you're pushing through something you have. I know it's not like I've had any problems with knowing the truth. It's just all these stupid idiotic questions that it just doubts and all this nonsense that just pop up that just drive you nuts. So anyway, I guess the long story long here, I did want to talk about that a little bit today, just for it, if anybody comes across this video and is dealing, you know, and if this helps anybody, that's cool. I mean, I will tell you, it doesn't matter who's talked to me. It doesn't matter how many times I talk to somebody or whatever. I mean, none of that really, not that it doesn't help at all, but like, it's just, you know, I don't want to do that. It's mm-hmm. just, you know, I don't want, there's nothing to hash out. It's like, this isn't anything that goes away. This physiological gut thing is still there, you mm-hmm. know? So until that gets out of my system, I think I'm just going to get through it. But yeah, it does help me relate to those who have anxiety problems. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. Even my son, he's had some issues with stuff, and it's like, this helps totally help me, you know, relate to him in a big way. And my wife too, she has it. But anyway, long story long. I just wanted to chat a little bit about that today so that if that helps anybody, it does. But I know my faith has helped, even though that's been trying, but it's still been there. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's just right on. Coming up with this, with this episode stuff too. I mean, like even that, trying to figure that out and do all that, that was a painful experience. Cause I'm like, but you know, so today, just like someone getting over a GLP-1 shot, sometimes we got to get over a friendship.
That's true. There are many broken ones,
but I think what I wanted to kind of open up with, it's just like, there's been so, like, we live in such a weird world. And I think we're at this, we're in the generation, Brian, we were like before all the internet.
Yes.
And then we knew what it was like really before the internet. And then we know what it's like with the internet. So like for us, it's interesting to like go from you make relationships and friends, and pretty much it's in person is the main thing. Mm-hmm. You hang out with people, you do all that, you really, you know, and then, you know, that's really what it is. You don't sit there at home and on chats and stuff like that. That's what we started out with. Now we're into this whole era of these digital, I don't know. It's just, it's so bizarre.
Dude, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to know something that just bugs me to death?
Okay, what?
All right, so back when we were kids, when we were teenagers even, young men, if you wanted to say something to a friend, you had to pick up the phone and call. Well, then it came texting. Well, if you want to say something to a friend, you can send them a text, right? I hate when people like my texts. Are you so lazy that you can't type out 4 words to say something in response? Have we got to the point where we are so eager to not communicate? Like literally, like it's gotta be, there's gotta be a better way. I mean, and look, man, friendships are precarious and they take work. They're not always a 50-50 relationship, just like a marriage, just like anything else. Sometimes you're going to carry more. Sometimes you're going to carry less. It just depends, but they take work. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy at the gym and he was like, oh, me and my best friend are getting together Friday night and we're going to go hang out and see a movie or something. And I was like, oh man. I was like, well, what kind of movies does he like? And he's like, I don't know. It's like, what kind of food does he like? And he's like, I don't know. I was like, so he's your best friend and you don't know anything about him. You don't know his favorite cut. He probably doesn't know his favorite color, favorite food, favorite movie, favorite anything. And you're like, how is that a friend of yours? Right? Like, how does that, Like if you said, Brian, name just a general food that Reggie likes. I'm like, brisket. Like he likes smoked things. Like I am pretty sure that you would smoke an asparagus or a avocado if you could. You're just the smoking dude, right? So, but these people that these friendships, they're not friendships. Like you can't, they're not definable. Like that's like me being online chatting with somebody in Umbuku somewhere and being like, this is my best friend. No, it's not. It's just a dude that I've been chatting with who could be a woman. He could be anything. I don't know who he is. And the digital age is killing friendships. It is killing them.
Well, I mean, and I don't do that either. Yeah. I have at times, but most of my digital connections are from personal connections.
Yeah.
That I have.
Yeah.
That's
different though.
Not random
things. It's different if you've done the work to make the connection and then you guys become friends on Facebook. But that's different.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of people that are friends on my Facebook page. I don't know them.
I don't do that.
You know,
if I don't know you, you don't get on my Facebook.
I mean, I look, here's what I do. If they do a friend request, I go to their page and look through their page. Uh-huh. If your page is private, I ain't letting you on. If your page is public and you're a libtard, then I'm not letting you on. So, but I'm just trying to figure out how to navigate this world.
Well, I know, but I think the digital world for me has caused some friendships to end where they probably wouldn't have other than that.
People get brave behind a keyboard, man. They sure do.
Yeah, I mean, because you start, and I don't know what the phenomenon is called. I think I looked it up one time, but like you start on your holy roller mission about something or other, whatever it is. And you come across different online than you do if you were sitting in front of a person. I mean, I've had several people who I would call family up until I was disowned because of opinions or beliefs or something online.
Well, for me, that's different though. I think that's a psychosis what that is.
Like, I guess.
That's not like, look, I think the inability to govern one's relationships has fostered an environment of fake righteous anger.
Yeah.
People push out onto Facebook. And, you know, I see, you know, but here's the thing. It's always the same thing. I've never had anybody type anything on Facebook and then I read it and go, uh-huh. It's always the same five talking points. It's always the same argument from authority. It's always the same garbage response it's never a, well, why do you think that way? Why do you have that opinion? It's always your opinion is garbage. You're garbage. You're crazy. You're wrong. You know, the ability to govern relationships is dying because of the internet. I've lost friends from the internet. Dude, I've run into people that are friends with me on Facebook. They won't talk to me in person, but they'll message me on Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, that's really weird.
Yeah. Strange.
It's for me. It is. I mean, you know, and it's hard to relate to some of the younger folk who are completely in this realm of this is where they operate. Right. I mean, but other than that, let me say this too. Like there's a lot of, well, for, and I think for both of us, classifying a friendship, like calling you a friend is different than we've already said. This is, you know, that's a little bit different than what most people are going to say a friend is. But like, there's a lot of people I've known who are acquaintances that were a long time ago or something. And I kind of see them out wherever, maybe, and just don't say hi or anything. Cause I frankly, it's just an acquaintance or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't, there's been many friends and stuff that I've had that I would probably say are on the way to becoming like a really good friend, but then it just like peters out, you know, or something. Like it just, you stop communicating and it just goes away. Lots of those, you know, whether it's like a circumstance in your life or a coworker that you knew really well that, you know, you don't work in the same place anymore, or it's a,
I'll be super honest with you. I've been burnt by work relationships, so I don't usually try to dip into, I'm very careful about who I share with at work. About
anything. Yeah.
Not because I'm afraid they're going to use it against me, but inevitably it causes issues because everybody's got to be on a team.
Yeah.
And that's another one of these things is the tribalism it's within itself has caused problems as well. Like, you know, everybody's got to be on a team. Everybody's got to be, oh, I'm on it. You can't. I got told one day you shouldn't be allowed to think that way. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
It's kind of weird.
You know, but I mean, you know, I'll give you an example. Someone who will go unnamed, I will not use his name. We were friends for a very long time. But what I learned as we got further down the line to the friendship is we were friends as long as it was convenient. The moment any inconvenience came up, there was suddenly distance. And I didn't say anything, man. I just cut the string. And then later on was told I was cold and wasn't, and I was honest with that person. I was like, no, you only want to be my friend when it's easy. When things get hard or life situations happen, you all of a sudden want to run to the other side and get real kind of at arm's length and tell me that's not a friend. Like, a friend's going to be around when shit's weird, and which is normal. I'm sorry. But when you have that person that, as long as the good times are rolling, but then all of a sudden they vanish when things get stressful, you know. When I started having kids, it got real weird. And he was like, and he just kind of faded to black. And here's the thing. I had already realized what our relationship was. So when he faded to black, I wasn't really upset about it. I kind of felt like it was a normal, but you know, I feel like everybody wants to be a click friend, right? Everybody wants to be we're going to make quick strikes. It's going to be easy. We'll hang out once. And you know, I had this conversation too. Well, I have a friend that I haven't seen in years, but when we get together, it's cool. I was like, yeah, but how much work did you have to put into that relationship for it to be that way?
That's true. I mean,
like, you and I, we didn't see each other for a couple of years a whole lot. But we never really had an issue, man. We had been friends before then. We knew each other. We were building our lives and our families were growing and we were focusing on things that we needed to focus on. And when we came back together, it was cool. We knew each other. We knew nobody was hurting each other's feelings, but we put work in on the friendship first, right? Like, we didn't just like high five and be like, we're friends, and then split up. Like, we knew each other. And I feel like you have to put in work. I think this, as I was reading this outline when you sent it to me, I just kept thinking about disposable society.
Yeah.
And how people have become disposable to other people.
Yep.
And I just don't understand. I struggled the whole, because I would get distracted. I'd get off on these chains of thought where I was like, oh, this is totally stupid. Like, why do people treat this? Why is that? And then I'm like, quit being self-righteous, Brian. You know, people are ding dongs and you just need to deal with it. But like, you know, life happens, right? If you're friends, life's going to happen and you're going to still be friends.
Well, but yes. And I think, and especially at the stage of your life, you are this is the big difference. Like, when you're younger, you don't necessarily have the family and all that stuff that you're like, you know,
you have more time.
Yeah. It's totally different, than when you're getting a family started, you know, you're married and all this stuff, you know, priorities do change where you goes from your friends or like your bros to like, well, now I have like a family and my, you know, I have my wife and my kids, and that gets into it now.
And let's be clear. Some bro relationships have to end at that point because that person just still wants to be that guy. Well, that's not healthy for my family.
Well, I mean, I can see where that is. But, I mean, other times it's like, look, but I've never had that guy where like he just always hung around and it didn't matter what was, well, other than the one true friends I got, I guess. But like, you know, almost all of my close friends now are either, you know, they're all family people. They're, you know, they're older or, I mean, it's just different when you're in your early 20s. Like for me anyway, in my early 20s, not being married and just kind of hanging out and playing music and doing other stuff, you know, then it's, you're just hanging out and you're just doing, having fun. You're not, you know, you're trying to do what you're going to do. You got your mindset on all kinds of things. It's a totally different thing than when you get to that place where you're older and you're having kids and everything else. But like at our church, there's tons of these younger families in the church where they're not 30 years old and having their first kid. They're 22 or something.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, you know, that wasn't my experience at all. And, but there's like a whole bunch of them though. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. These younger families. And like, I imagine that's a completely different thing for all these kids.
It's stuff, a different right? dynamic, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so it is different, but, yeah. I think getting into a little bit of it, there's a big difference between just like, you know, you're transitioning through life stages and you just drift apart than it is just ghosting somebody.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Can you tell me what ghosting means? Like, I'm not 100% sure.
You intentionally just don't.
Just vanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those. Now I will say this. I'm not that guy. If I feel like our relationship is unhealthy, I'll do somebody the courtesy of being like, dude, this relationship has become very unhealthy. So we need to have a come to Jesus conversation about whether this needs to continue, right?
This is where social media kind of does get in the way a little bit, because like you'll maintain like a social media presence and be a friend with this person or something that you no longer talk to or whatever.
That's true.
So then it kind of masks what that really is.
Tricks us into thinking that we're still, tricks other people into thinking that you're still friends, right? Like, and I think that's something else too, is the maintaining of the visual of a relationship seems to be a lot more important than the actual body of the relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like the image. But, you know, I don't know, like networking contacts. And now don't get me wrong, I've had friends who've helped me get jobs and things like that, but I've never like been like, oh, you're cool, thanks for the job, I'm out, right? Like, I'm not going to do that either. Like, you know.
Well, I know, but like there's certainly enough. There's certainly enough cause though. Like when you see, I'm trying to think of where I was at, that things really, really changed. Like when, okay. So when I really started into my career hot and heavy, right. I don't know when that would be, but in my 20s somewhere, it went from, you know, working pindly, silly jobs, you know, doing stuff,
having no money.
Yeah. Not really having no money or whatever. And then finally getting into something that was on the way to getting something bigger or whatever. So then I'm started working more.
Yep.
So then now it's a, you know, that caused, you know, quite a bit of things to drift away, right? Because of that stage. And then it gets into where I got married the first time, you know, then that also then gets into a different thing. And then I moved, you know, when you start moving around, that changes too. Then you think, you know, it's like all these things have led to a lot of friends that I had that just, and I'm sure there's a lot of them that I could call them up tomorrow and what are you doing? And we could have a conversation, but there's some of them though that have radically changed their opinions about things, and they've actually disowned me.
Yeah.
Because of my faith and what I think politically and everything else, that like that completely. Right.
Well, I think part of it too, though. And I think adult friendships are far harder to maintain. And I say this very skeptically, because my idea of somebody being an adult and an adult is something different But like, you know, you and I had, sometimes we have scheduling conflicts because of our family and we have to juggle the show around and move things over. And, you know, I try to figure out a way to do this so that we can still do the show. Cause I really love this. And, but there, you know, life happens and our families, your family, my family, we're always going to put a priority on them. Right. So, so you have to really work. And you have to have, not only do you have to work, but you have to have a level of flexibility in adult relationships that are not necessary in those younger relationships. Right. I don't think, and as far as communication goes, you're either good or you're bad at it, but I don't think that's the crux of whether it's harder or not harder. I think guys like you and me, we're pretty capable of being clear and concise and,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And, but you also know, we both know that when we're frustrated and when things are, you know, kind of off and things are going a certain way, but I think it takes a lot of work, especially at our age now where we have to really kind of put in the time, like, and we have to put in the thought and we have to really kind of be open and communicate and talk about what's going on and try to schedule things in a way where, you know, our kids and our wives and everybody gets what they need and we get what we need. And those things are just, I think that's a lot of the reason why, you know, like I'll talk to like older men in the church, men my age, 40, mid 40s, early 50s, they don't have any friends. And I'll go, well, you know, do you want to hang out?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, I got to look at my schedule and then, you know, I got to go and I don't know what's going on home. And
you're a man. Why don't you know what's going on? Like, why, are you that loose with the cannon that you just kind of fire out the door? At the like for me, if you say, Brian, can you do something Saturday? It takes one phone call and about 2 minutes to figure it out. With a lot of these, especially men lately, it's very disappointing. They're very squishy about any kind of connection.
Yeah.
And that's
for sure.
And I feel like kind of rippling effect that affects that. I mean, you don't see a lot of close relationships within the church between men. And I feel like that's a huge loss, man. You know, I don't even know. Honestly, I've thought about how to make that better. But the really the only way to make it better is to be like, look, dude, we need strong connections. We need togetherness as men. Let's do it. But a lot of guys just won't. They won't commit. They won't say, yes, I will go, you know, have a steak. Yes, I will go watch a ball game. Yes, I will go, like, we'll have a beer and just chat.
Yeah, right? Whatever.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think a lot of that is an isolationist kind of attitude that sometimes we get stuck into.
Yeah.
You've been so ingrained in whatever you got going on or nothing that it's just difficult to have something go on, right? But
well, you and I are both Gen X.
That's true.
And one of the things that I noticed about this is a generational thing, you know, the builder generation and Gen X and all of the boomers, we all really leaned on communication.
Yeah.
Being able to talk to each other, right? But when Gen Z and all that stuff kind of kicked in, communication is just lost. Like the art of conversation is lost. Like when I go, I was telling you about my experiences at retailers, like these kids don't know how to talk. And the word is like the predominant word in the conversation. And I'm like, do you not know how to talk to me? I mean, I know you went to high school, at least elementary school. You should have a basic grasp of the human language.
Yeah.
And I'm watching people go backwards. Like you're falling off the ability to, and look, man, I'll text you if I got something to say, if we can't talk, but I'd much rather have a conversation. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that a lot of times it's just, I don't know. I think sometimes it's lazy. Sometimes it's just, I don't know, man. I think there's like a hesitation somewhere.
Do you think that the inability or the lack of focus on basic communication skills is having a negative effect on friendships?
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to say because like the friendships I do have aren't like that. Right. Yeah. So I haven't established a friendship where their communication wasn't
I haven't at all.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess you could say sure by that statement that you're, you know, communication's critical. And I mean, it has to, because obviously if you're building something, that's part of it.
Yeah.
What I would say though, is that like from the other flip side of that, I know there's a lot of more introverted people though, especially in dudes, and especially nowadays with the, like all the Discords and video game things and all that stuff, that they don't really have any relationships other than in there. Right. Yeah. Now you're talking to people, but you're not sitting there sharing your life and all that kind of stuff generally. Right. So like, for instance, when I'm, cause I like my video games, don't get me wrong. And my Discord group that I have is, man, we've been together now for a long time and it's all older guys.
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah, those are friends of mine, because they totally, I talk to them more than I talk to anybody.
Yeah.
But they're not just around here. Like I can't go, hey, you know, whatever his name is, I need help moving this weekend, because they're not, you know, they're not here. They're like halfway across the country or something.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of friendship, but it's one that I really cherish too.
Yeah.
Because they're close. I mean, we are close, to be honest. There's a specific group of Discord people that we've been talking for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
8 years maybe.
Yeah.
Right. And so we know I know their family, like who they have, like they're married and their kids, and they're going on this vacation or doing this or doing that, or they're struggling with this or they're doing that or whatever. We talk about all that. Right. But at the same token, the flip side of that though, is like a usual, I would say like a normal Discord thing where you jump on a server full of people playing the same kind of game you are, and you don't share anything like that.
No,
there might be some cool people that you meet and everything else, but you're not really establishing a friendship either.
No.
But people, I think younger people are latching onto that aspect of relationships and community rather than the deeper aspect of being a friendship, like really into it. And I want to say this too, man. There's definitely some friendships that I grieved over.
Yeah, there's definitely some friendships that. Even to this day, I'm a little salty about.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, like, sure.
Not angry, but I'm just a little salty about how it ended.
Oh, yeah.
And some things that were done.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and
there's some guys I was really close to, completely got ghosted by. I still don't know why. I still really don't. Now, at that point in my life, it was pretty turmoil. It was. There was a lot of chaos going on. So I'm not saying I didn't do something, but like, I still don't know today why, the real reason for all that. But yeah, it still rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, and I don't care who you are. I don't care how masculine you are or how independent you are. You still feel rejection in that situation. You still feel pushed out of that situation. Like when it's out of your control and someone just kind of lets go and vanishes, and then, you know, and you reach out and you're like, hey, you know, what's going on? And they don't respond. There's a level of rejection that comes along with that. Like that's the salty part of it, right? Like I tried to reach out to you. I tried to figure this out. Like, you know, have you ever wanted to reach out to somebody who's been in, you've been in that situation with, and then not really known how to do it? Like I'm a little bit viperous in the sense of, if you bounce me I'm going to try once. If I try once and you bounce me again, yeah, we're done.
I've reached out to a couple of people that I did want to rekindle, or just because it was that important of a friendship to me, and I didn't get a response.
Yeah.
And no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one of them I tried again. I did. But after that, it was like, well.
Well, it's like, there's been people that have blocked me on Facebook And I've been like, really? Yeah. Because I'll post something not necessarily controversial, but that challenges the norm. And they just don't like it. And they're brainwashed, and they're into this, you know, fitting in kind of thing. And then they ghost me, and or they block me. And I'm like, really, dude, why did you block me? Like, what was the purpose of you blocking me?
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a crazy thing. When I used to travel for work, which meaning I was gone 35, 40 weeks out of the year,
yeah,
right, on a plane going somewhere, I ran into all kinds of people, right? And yeah, and it's interesting when you're traveling, because it's almost like you're anonymous anyway, because nobody knows who you are, and you know, there's like no repercussions, really, whatever. It's almost like a social media network when you're traveling. It really is. Like, you can say whatever you want, because the hell, they're not gonna know any different. Now, that wasn't how I did it, but you always wonder what they're telling you is true or not. But anyway, you get in a lot of conversations, and especially like if during my job, right? If I was somewhere, especially if they had a cigar lounge somewhere, mm-hmm, I was there, right? I'd get done with work, I'd have a meal or whatever, and then I usually didn't want to go just back to my hotel room and like watch TV. That was never my thing. I'm like, I'm looking for a cigar lounge or something to hang, you know, have a drink and just do that, right? And you meet all kinds of dudes there, you know, all kinds of people. You get in all kinds of conversations. And one time I'm in Houston and I'm sitting at this, and it's actually George Bush's neighborhood, his neck of the woods down there. So it's pretty ritzy, right?
Yeah.
And this cigar lounge was not cheap either or whatever, but that's where it was. That's where I was. And, you know, so I'm talking to this one fella, and, you know, and it was actually pretty cool. He was telling me about this and that and all these kind of things. And he was, at the time I was living in Boston and New York, kind of bouncing around there a little bit. And, he was like, yeah, I'm up in, I forgot where it was now, somewhere up there. I forgot if he had a yacht or a boat or something. He was on it, like, hey, we can do this and do that. I mean, like, we got to the point in the conversation where he was really like, you know, hey, we should do this and all this kind of stuff, right? Because it was just,
yeah.
And then I said, yeah, that sounds good, homie. As soon as I said homie, this dude was like, oh, you can't really say that around here. And I went, what?
But can't I?
This is not, and I don't remember exactly what he said. It was something like, this ain't the neighborhood where you say that or something.
Could you point me to the neighborhood that I could say that in?
And it wrecked it.
Oh, yeah. It just killed it.
It killed everything, right? Because it was just like, what? And not that I didn't mean anything by it, right? But it was like, it was that one thing I'm thinking. And, you know, it was obvious, you know. And I never reached out to that guy.
Dude, I had a guy one time. We worked together, and I really admired this guy. Like, he had a family, like, he was a real hard worker. He had been through some things, but he had recovered. And so I invited him out one night, and I was like, let's go. I don't know why, but I was a big bowler. Like, we'd go to the bowling alley and bowl for 4 or 5 hours, have some beers, just laugh, carry on. So we're at this bowling alley, right? It's me and a couple of my friends and him and like a friend of his. And I've been talking this dude up all week to my friends. I'm like, this is a pretty cool cat, right? Oh, black couple walks by, and bro just turns into David Duke. And I'm looking at this, all of us, even his friends are looking at him, and we're like, are you kidding me? Like, he was like, N-word this and P monkey that, and I'm like, what
is that?
What?
Yeah, what are you
dude, ghosted that dude so fast. Like we went back to work. I don't think I spoke to him twice the rest of the time I worked there. I was like, dude, I can't do.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I can't vibe with you at all. Like, I thought you were all right. And then you just, like, when you talk about a complete train derailment, like, every car came off the tracks, dude.
Oh, it's dude. There's been so many things like that, right? I forgot where I was. Oh, that was in Vermont this one time, and I was sitting there again at a cigar. And this guy was totally drunk, and he kept talking to me, and I'm like, I must have been, I don't know how long I was there, but it was at least an hour and a half. He just kept going and talking, right? I was being nice, but I didn't have it. But he's like, here's my business card. Let's get to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I totally was, you know, couldn't wait to get out of there. You know, I mean, he must have thought I was his best bro or something. Man. Oh. He was all about it. But yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't run into that dude.
Dude, again, have you ever been in a situation where you recognize somebody and you all probably hung out a little bit and they are all excited to see you and they know your name, but you cannot for the life of you remember their name?
Yeah.
I had a guy who was working in jewelry, man, and he came up to the counter and he was like on fire that it was me. And he was like, dude, do you remember we did this and this and this? And I was like, I don't remember any of that. Like, I don't even, and I didn't have the heart to be like, I don't remember your name. And then he bought something and I had to have his driver's license. Actually, I think he sold some gold and I had to have his driver's license. And when I saw his driver's license, what was sad was I knew his first name, but then I still didn't remember him. It's like, even now that I know your name, dude, I don't remember any of this. And he was telling me like specific dates and things that happened. And I was like, nothing, got no recollection at all, dude. Like,
yeah.
Not that I don't care, but dude, you caught me. I don't remember you at all. Like, I don't. And he made it sound like we were like the Three Musketeers. Like we were out there swashbuckling and just getting it done. And I was like, yeah, I would remember that.
I had something similar. Man, this has been 15, 20 years ago, maybe. I don't know. It's been a while, but like it was this girl who was in band when I was in band. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she came up and she was like, you know, oh, I know exactly who you are. And I'm like, you do, huh?
Awesome. Could you tell me?
Yeah. And I didn't know, had no clue who she was. And apparently she had this hatred for me because I would apparently nag at her at band camp because of trying to get her to get in step or something. I don't even remember because, you know, yeah, I was kind of a tyrant when I was in the band because I was the drum major or one of the drum majors. So I was pretty much, yeah. But I was, yeah.
You were a tyrant.
I was definitely a tyrant. Okay. But I didn't. I mean, she knew exactly, you know, all these things. Never remembered who she was or.
Don't remember doing any of
it. Yeah, I don't. I mean, you know.
Have you ever had
specifics?
Have you ever heard somebody telling a story about you? And it's a glorious story, but you don't remember any of it.
Oh yeah, there was one. I forgot who it was. I reconnected with like a few years ago, and was like, "Hey, do you remember this?"
No,
I have no idea.
Whatever this amazing thing is, the yarn that you're spinning, I don't remember any of it.
I mean, no, yeah, it was. Yeah, I've had to happen several times, but it, you know, that's what.
Well, here's a better question. How do you know when a friendship is worth attempting to save or rekindle? That's a tough question for me.
Well, I don't know. I don't think that's a really tough question, though. I mean, for me anyway, like I know if there's like if someone's I know the people that or I don't know. I would say it just depends on the situation. Like if it's somebody I'm thinking about that I just say, hey, you know, I need to reconnect with, which actually I did the other day. I need to get a hold of this guy, but definitely. So it's like he's a Facebook friend now, and I used to play music with him a long time ago. And I think about that time a lot because it was like one of the first, you know, band stuff and all that, you know, trying to do things. And just a really, he was somebody I knew so well. And I thought, you know what? I need to rekindle that one. Because it's like, you know, and he's not far away or anything else like that. And so that's just one instance, sure. But there's a lot of them there. I don't know. The ones that I'm like, shouldn't, I don't even think I think about anymore. So.
Well, you know, a very good question for me is it better to leave it in the past? You know, I had somebody the other day that, and we've been friends for a very long time. We'll chat from time to time on the phone. We talk, we message over Facebook. And he brought up a friendship of mine. It was one that I was talking about earlier. And he goes, man, have you ever have you ever thought about fixing it? And I was like, no. And here's why. I was like, when I go on his Facebook page, 20 years later, it's the same guy saying the same things, telling the same yarns and lies. And when I see that someone is incapable of not necessarily change, but just growth in general, I usually find it better just to leave that in the past, right? If you haven't come any further down the road than we were 20 years ago, then it's probably, and it's not a personal thing. It's just, we're probably not going to be able to hang out because I'm only going to listen to you tell the same story 18 times before I'm like,
yeah,
I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then you're going to be, you know, or if you see that someone is, you know, I'll be honest with you. I have reached out to people that I know and be like, hey man, that thing you posted, dude, that person was looking for help. And their response is, well, that's not my responsibility to help them. Yeah, we're probably not going to be friends. If you're thinking that way and you're hurting people intentionally, we probably got to separate, right? So it's a weird situation because, you know, there's a couple of friendships that I've thought back on, you know, and been like, man, I really need to reach out and see if we can. But the majority of them, if I've reached out, man, it's been very cold, to say the least.
Look, I say in general, it's like this. We need to be more community oriented, for one,
yeah,
as a society. We can't let all the digital stuff really take away from the benefits of that kind of community. It doesn't take the place of it, for sure. Yes, you can have some meaningful relationships through digital means, but you know, there's that's not all there is. You still need, you know, we're still physical human beings. There's still a physicality part of our existence that still needs to be there. I would say for any Christian man, though, at church is where look, those are where you're going to have the most success, probably trying to forge some kind of, you know, relationship with another guy or group of guys. The men's group stuff, man, I would say that's where you start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and expect just to go into service every Sunday and, you know, saying hi to a bunch of guys is going to really do it. That's not it, man. I mean, you got to start serving with people. You got to start living life with other dudes.
Well, and present yourself as you are.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, don't look, man, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea and I'm fully aware of that.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not going to try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes in order to build a fake relationship. So part of it for me is, yeah, you got to find those men, but you need to be okay with who you are.
I tell people all the time, like, you know, there's God creates some people to be scalpels and be precise and all this stuff. I'm his sledgehammer.
Yeah.
I just am. I'm blunt. I'm point to the, you know, not that I can't be soft, but it's like, you know, in general, that's not, you know, I'm not here to lie to you or coddle.
I said something the other day. Guy goes, you put on your armor of God every day. I was like, well, yeah, but God gave me a sword too. Like I'm carving it up.
You know,
like I'm not the, like, if you come to me and ask me a question, I'm not going to kind of dance around it.
But it's
like,
okay to be who you are. Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's okay for somebody to, you know, you don't have to be friends with everybody.
No, you can't be.
You got to be selective. And again, when we talk about friendships, it is different.
Yeah.
Because
you got 50 friends, you ain't got 50 friends. Let's just put it that way. If you got 50 friends, you ain't got 50 friends.
There you go.
There's no way that one person can fully uphold the meaningful relationship of a friendship with 50 individuals. It's just not possible. Like you're gonna fall short and you're gonna cheat people. You're gonna cheat yourself, right? I would rather have 4 or 5 very close relationships and 4 or 5 very close friends than have 1,000 acquaintances that I call friends.
But I would just say, look, if there's any friendships you had that you think about and you want to reach out, don't wait, just do it. Yeah. You never know. I mean, there's all kinds of things that I would say about that. I would say that, you know, don't wait. We're only on this planet for so long.
Dude, and here's thing. The worst thing that can happen is nothing happens, right? Like, the worst thing that can happen is you reach out and nothing happens.
I've had people reach out to me and it was the most awkward conversation and you know, okay, that's probably not, that's.
Yeah.
And then you know, okay, yeah. Cool. That's not.
You know, and part of it too is we go through different things at different stages in our lives. You never really know the reason that someone disappeared until you ask. Like that. Sure. I've had guys that disappeared on me and I've been like, hey, what's up? And they've been like, dude, I went through a terrible divorce. I lost a close relative or something happened that put me in a spiral. Well, I get that, man. I get that fully. Like when heartbreak will make you silent, it will make you silent. So don't always assume that they ghosted you because they have an issue with you. They may have just had an issue, right? Something happened and they may be okay now. And it may just be, and be honest with them. Hey, dude, you really could have leaned on me. I'm kind of sucked that you vanished, but hey, I'm sorry that happened to you. Right. Like, let's have an honest conversation. And maybe this friendship is worth rekindling. Right. You know, as men, we tend to deal in finalities a lot. Right. Well, I'm not going to do this good dishes. Shut up.
I mean, sometimes stick to it, but look, yeah. There's a time.
You'll know when to stick to it, yeah. Right? If your eyes are open and your ears are open and you're listening, you'll know when to stick to it.
Okay.
All right.
Tune in next time for some topic
we have not decided yet.
Also, too, if you want to, like, drop a comment about, you know, a friendship either that was funny or not.
Yeah. That's DM, cool. Hit us with the Facebook message, you know, drop a comment, like, subscribe. I haven't said that in a while, but God puts people in your path for a reason. Just keep your ears and eyes open and be ready for those relationships. And if you're doing the right thing, they'll go where they need to go. They'll die when they need to die. They'll live when they need to live. Right. You just have to be, you just have to understand and know that it's part of God's plan. And, you know, that's what you have to rest everything in. So
we're RB Talks.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.